just love it when babies sing that song. Lead me to the rock, the solid rock. And we want to thank Theodore for giving his gift. You know what we did when we had the new members class, and he didn't put it off. You know, he came up and we went back there and we went through everything. We got to the ministry. He said, "Pastor, I want a man." I said, "Well, all right, we're going to work on that." I said, "And you're going to help somebody else." Because, you know, we all need to realize that there's something all of us can do. And so we just thank God for that. Want to continue the series, Rediscovering Jesus. And I want to tag this text this morning, Jesus' response to hunger and the mentality of scarcity. Jesus responded to hunger and the mentality of scarcity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you first and foremost for being God and for this day. We thank you for this worship experience, all we've heard and all we've seen. And now comes the preaching moment. And so search me, O Lord. You know me. You know my weaknesses. You know my downfalls. And so whatever is destructive that makes me unworthy, for none of us are worthy, but we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Remove that impediment, whatever it is, no matter how painful it will be. And then, oh Lord, give me that clarity of sight, speech, and mind, because people need to understand. People need words as plain this morning in a world that's so confusing. And then, as always, as my days go on, I have to call on you to give me the strength. And I'm going to continue to stand on your promises, because if you've done it before, I know you can do it one more time. So we give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Rediscovering Jesus. Jesus responds to hunger and the mentality of scarcity. And even though I'm dealing a little with health this morning, we'll save the rest of that for another Sunday. I said when I started preaching this series, I would preach it until God says stop. And from what happened on Thursday, I think I'll be preaching this series for a while. Well, the Jesus that the Western Christianity has introduced to us is a Jesus that has been sanitized so much, we don't know who the real Jesus is. But let me talk about Thursday first. I picked up my devotional. The title will tell you a lot about me. Common Prayer, a Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals. Every day I have a psalm to read into the addition to the three I read every day. There's a reading from the Old and New Testament, a hymn. And there's a historical event most people don't walk to talk about. On Thursday, it was about Mahatma Gandhi. And I know when some would say, well, he wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't. However, while studying in London, he read the Bible. He read the Bible and decided to give Christianity a try. He attended Sunday morning worship, and when the worship ended, one of the people told him it might be better for him to worship with people like him. Y'all missed that one. He was told in this English church, him being an Indian, a Hindu who was considering Christianity, it'd be better for him to worship in a church with people like him. And the quote from Gandhi on Thursday was, "If I have read the Bible correctly," and let me add a little bit to that to myself, "too many who call themselves Christians have not. For if they did, they wouldn't agree with a whole lot of things they go along with." But back to what Gandhi said, "I know many men who have never heard of the name Jesus or even rejected the official interpretation of Jesus. who will probably, if Jesus came in the midst today, in our midst today in flesh, they would be owned by Jesus more than those who call themselves Christians. I said, yeah. I know many men who have never heard the name Jesus or have even rejected the official interpretation of Jesus, who will probably, if Jesus came into our midst today in flesh, they would be owned by Jesus more than many who call themselves Christians. That was enough right there. But then I attended that pastor school of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of Virginia. It was held in Huguenot Road Baptist Church, and the church Reverend Atkins founded met in their building before they have a building. And that's where I started this journey as a pastor 24 years ago. We had a lecture with Dr. Bill Leonard, Dean Emeritus of the School of Divinity at Brigham University. And as I checked the outline, two things jumped out at me. First, he said, there needs to be a retelling of the story of Jesus. You take no details for granted. See, because for too long, we've been reading Jesus through Paul instead of reading Jesus for ourselves and reading Paul through Jesus. And secondly, congregations need to confront their theologies on race and gender. I preached about that last Sunday. And in addition to that, sexuality, immigration, and the treatment of those in the margin and the abound. See, if we realize, if we revisited Jesus' radical response to the marginalized. But yes, Jesus was a radical. New Hope Fellowship and all churches would be agents of justice, compassion, and reconciliation. Justice when so many are wrongly incarcerated and the person serving in the highest office in the land believes he cannot be accountable for anything he done. Compassion when programs for those in the margin are being cut, and not just those in the margin, but Medicare and Social Security, most of us have paid for while cutting taxes for the top 1%. And reconciliation, because all of God's creation will have to get along in eternity, either in glory or in the spoken section. Something else I was reminded as I teach Introduction to Bible. Not only were the Gospels written years after Jesus' death, for years the early Christians were not concerned about the details of Jesus' life. They focused on what the details meant. So if the way Jesus challenged the institutions of the empire are recorded, we need to know how to deal with the empires of today. We've looked at two views of Jesus, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John. This morning, we will engage the view of Matthew. We will look at a story that many know. It's just that we focus on the miracle instead of seeing how Jesus was responding to a norm that had not dealt with the needs of people. See, for miracles always have a meaning. And if you don't know the reason for the miracle, that's why we don't have the courage to challenge many of the things that we need to challenge today. But the theology of slavery has kept us from dealing with our trauma. It has kept us from being all that God wants us to be. And the way that women are treated, I'm glad we don't have that problem up in New Hope Fellowship. That treatment has caused a lot of people, men and women, to miss their blessing. The Gospel of Matthew is a teaching gospel. Jesus spends a lot of his time teaching in this gospel. And when the crowd show up, something always happens. We enter the text, Jesus dealing with another problem today, health. I'm not making this my main focus this morning. I'll come back and deal with that on another Sunday. I'm going to still talk about it. But in our text, we let us know that Jesus is moving. And as a church, as we cast our vision for the next 5 years, we're going to have to start moving also. But people don't come to church like they used to. This building will continue to be our headquarters. However, the army of Jesus, that's us. We're going to have to move out and go into the community. Jesus went up into a mountain and sat down. And verse 30 said, large crowds came to him. The crowds included those who were blind, those who were paralyzed, those who were injured, those who were unable to speak. There were so many other maladies, the author just said, and many others. But notice, Jesus didn't ask if they had Medicare or Medicaid. If they had an HMO, Anthem, Centura, Humana, or United Healthcare. Jesus didn't say that because there were so many, he was going to have to cut his health care budget off. I hope you realize there are proposals out there to cut both Medicare and Medicaid off. Proposals to put back in those pre-existing conditions. And see, that's bad if you got high blood pressure. That's bad if you got diabetes, something most of us have. No, the sick were laid at Jesus' feet and Jesus healed them. See, I know that God is still a healer. It's just that we don't believe in miracles today. However, whether you believe in miracles or not, in the difficult days ahead, for the fear of loss of privilege for a few Christians, has a lot of crazy things happening in this land. See, so when it comes to health care, as members of New Hope Fellowship, we're going to eat right. Amen, God? And we're going to exercise. And then we're going to encourage others to challenge the cuts to those who are struggling in the margins. And when we take a stand, when we make a difference, the response will be the same as the response in the text off. But when people saw people who could not talking off, and if you think about that this morning, how many people that you know that should be talking this morning and are not? Should be talking and having a lot to say. See, we need to empower them to open up at their mouths. The text said that the injured walker, how many are this morning are injured by trauma and not walking up? Intergenerational trauma. The trauma of white supremacy enforced on many daily. See, if we address those traumas, give those wounds some air, people that never walk will be walking to higher heights each and every day. Oh, I love this one. The blind were seeing. See, most of us have been in the church all of our lives. Many of us have read the Bible and missed it over and over again. The empowering gospel of Jesus. The liberating gospel of Jesus. See, I'm preaching the way I am so that some eyes might be opened and people might see. But just like they praise God in the text, if people would walk today, if people would talk today, if people would see the blessing that God has right in front of them, some praise would be going on right up in here. Some praise would be going on in the community. Let's get to what I said I was going to preach about. First, Jesus showed compassion to those that are hungry. The last thing we see coming out of the White House. The last thing we see coming out of many institutions that call themselves churches is compassion. And that's why I'm glad. That's why you should be glad that you have a friend named Jesus who has some compassion. And remember, if Jesus has some compassion for you, you need to have some compassion for others. In the text, Jesus says to the disciple, I feel feel sorry for the crowd. They've been with me for 3 days and haven't had nothing to eat. Notice, Jesus don't say nothing about they've been complaining. Some of us complain even though we ate just 2 hours ago. Nobody said they were hungry. See, being in the presence of God, seeing God at work, or it has a tendency to cause some of your wants and desires to just go away. See, God dropped this one on me. If we spent a little bit more time with God, we wouldn't need any of those toys that the world throws at us each and every day. See, Jesus knowing all about us, Jesus knowing what we need, Jesus being the great health care provider that he was, he said, if we don't feed them, they won't have enough strength to travel. See, I was told they used to tell the medical students at Meharry, don't write a prescription for someone to take three pills times a day after meals unless you know they can afford to eat three times a day. But be thankful for a friend named Jesus who knows, and that Jesus will provide all of our needs. But before Jesus could feed the crowds, Jesus had to shoot down the mentality of scarcity that the apostles had. That mentality is messing many of us today because we accept less. We spend money on things of poor quality that in the end up costing us more. We are always in search of a deal and ending spending money on stuff we don't need, stuff that we end up having to throw away. And it's the trick of business, a trick to make things cost more. They do it every Christmas, you know, got this toy, and everybody got to have it, that mentality is scarcity. All you got to do is talk about a storm coming up in the Gulf or in Atlanta. Gas prices go up. You can't get necessities at the store. They had to pass a law to keep people from being gods. And see, that mentality was the apostles' problem. But they said, where are we going to get enough food in this wilderness to satisfy such a big crowd? Seems like the apostles are just like us. Got a short memory when it comes to what God do. We in chapter 14, 15, but go back to chapter 14, and Jesus just fed 5,000 people. He just 4,000 this time. See, not only does that ideology of scarcity cause us to forget, thinking that scarcity makes things bigger than they really are. Oh, in the story of Mark, the response is similar. The men of the trustees and deacons today. I ain't put it up here, but they said, should we go off and buy bread worth almost 8 months of pay and just give it to the folks to eat? Well, if God says we need to do it, we got to do it. See, God will provide for that and even more. Now, love the next question Jesus asked. How much bread do you have? And I love how Alicia said it last Sunday. Concentrate on what you have. See, concentrate on what you got. Take care of what you do have. But when you take your focus away from what God has already blessed you with, you give others the opportunity to take it from you. See, don't concentrate on what other folks have. You don't know how much debt they have. You don't know how many nights they stay up worrying. You don't know how unhappy they are. Be faithful over a few things, and God will bless you with even more. See, New Hope Fellowship, we were faithful in that hotel conference room, and God blessed us with more. See, it's time for us to step up right here at 11906 General Park Puller Highway so that God will bless us even more. The apostle responded, seven loaves of bread and a few fish. And everybody knows what would happen. After telling the crowd to sit on the ground. Jesus took the 7 loaves of bread and fish and after giving thanks. And whatever you have, you need to give God thanks for. Got a bag of chips, give God thanks. Got a hootie, give God thanks. One roll all by yourself, give God thanks. And after giving thanks for a little, Jesus broke the bread and fish into pieces. I know I'm not at my close, but just that when that bread and fish were broken, they multiplied. And the body of Jesus, when it was broken, the sacrifice did not just pay for what? The sacrifice of that broken body, the body of Jesus being broken, it paid it all. Paid it all for all of creation. See, don't tell me what working with a little bit would do. Jesus broke the little and gave it to his disciples. And the Bible said everybody ate. Everybody ate until they were full, had to undo the belts and whatnot. And the disciples who were concentrating on what they did not have, they collected 7 baskets full of leftover. Don't tell me what God can do. That was a miracle. That was shock material. And let's make it personal. How much is the mentality of scarcity holding us back today? Holding us back, especially when it comes to God. See, for the mentality of scarcity saying, you can't give no more on Sunday morning. Well, let's be honest, the mentality of scarcity says to some people, you ain't got enough money, you can't give nothing to God. I hope everyone paid attention to the slide that was up doing offering. Ministry happens at New Hope Fellowship because people give. Give of their time. Give of their money. See, the mentality of scarcity is not going to keep anybody from spending 4 hours this evening watching the Super Bowl. But what have the Chiefs or the 49ers done for you lately? The mentality is not going to keep people from buying chicken wings, dips, chips, and liquid refreshment. However, we will be spending, the only thing, the result of that spending will be that will last, will be a few more pounds, or maybe some high blood pressure. See, don't let the mentality of scarcity cause you to shortchange God and at the same time feed the bird system that is holding you back. See, Jesus was intentional about everything he did. Take a deeper look and you will see Jesus healed because he wants all to have abundant life. However, Jesus used that healing to show compassion to those who were hungry. The same hunger we have in a land where we throw out so much food. And if Jesus has compassion, those who are called by his name should have some compassion. And in showing compassion, Jesus shut down that ideology of scarcity. Get that mindset out of your life. I'm not saying to be wasteful, but when it comes to doing the work of the kingdom, don't bring it up in here. But God can take your little bit. God can take my little bit. And that's how we as a people made it for a long time. Oh, we built churches, we built schools, we built banks, we built hospitals, we built businesses, we had everything we need. However, that mentality of scarcity has destroyed everything alive except the church. And if we don't change that, we're going to destroy the black church also. See, God can take those little bits and do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask for or even imagine. Keep rediscovering Jesus. Read the Bible with new eyes. And watch God make a change. Watch God make your life and the lives of others better. Let God make your life brand new. Get rid of that sanitized Jesus. The one that has been used by your oppressor for years to hold you back and to keep you from being all that God wants that you be. But God can. I said God can. And God will. Anybody in here know that God can? Anybody in here know that God will? But he woke us up this morning that God can. Can God put food on the table? God can. And God will. Did God put clothes on your back? God can. And God will. Did God give you joy this morning? Joy that the world didn't give you. And joy that the world can't take away. God can. And God will. God made you better at one thing than anybody else. God can. And God will. It's just that we have to start doing and make things right. And we can do that if we just show a little compassion and be willing to let go of that mindset. A mindset that has been holding us back for too long. We need to get rid of it in 1865. It's 2020. We need to have some 2020 sight. See the Bible for ourselves. And get rid of a mindset that has blinded too many of us. Too many of us. For too long. For too long. The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. Everything. What are we going to claim? What God has for us. Got to have compassion. Got to have the right mindset. And got to be able to see what God, not what I say, but what God. What God. What God. 10 years ago, they wouldn't tell you we would have this place. But God. God had it for us because we were faithful in a tight spot. That God has brought us to a broad space. What are we going to do with that broad space? Boy, God. God can. And God will. I know he can. I know he will. I've seen what he's done in my life. I've seen what he's done in the lives of some of y'all this morning. And it's just my prayer that God has spoken to me and said to say what I said. We're going to embrace it. We're going to live by it. And we're going to make ourselves better. And in making ourselves better, we're going to make others better. Because we serve a God of love. And a God of compassion. Sorry that my soul was just happy. I'm done. I'm done. Everybody here is saved this morning. So we ask the choir to sing as we prepare for communion. Sing for us, choir.